You're about to be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. For the next hour and 30 minutes, this program will present in person such bright stars as...
Fred Allen.
Clyde Brooks.
Portland Hoffa.
Frankie Lane.
Ethel Merman.
Margaret Phillips.
Hugh Riley.
Herb Shriner.
Margaret Truman.
Meredith Wilson.
And my name, darlings, is Lula Bankhead.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show. The Big Show. 90 minutes with the most scintillating personalities in the entertainment world. Brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at the same time as the Sunday feature of NBC's All-Star Festival. And here is your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darlings, this week one of our guests is a very unusual young lady. She was on the Big Show once before, and I was quite nervous about it. But now that I know her, I am completely calm. I am determined to take this whole thing in my stride. My name is not Balula Tankhead. Whatever my name is. It escapes me for the moment. After all, I think of our guest as a fine singer, a charming personality, and a gracious young lady.
Sir, you don't have to put the dog on for me, Salou.
Oh, not you at the moment, darling. Ever, my sweet, I wasn't talking about you. I was referring to another singer on this program, Margaret Truman.
Well, leave us not forget that I, too, am a singer.
Ethel, I'm not forgetting. It just so happens that Margaret is a personable young woman.
Yes, I vote for that.
A very warm and regular girl.
I vote for that, too.
And her father is President of the United States.
Leave us not forget that I, too, am a
Well, darling, you just keep on reminding us, will you?
Besides, we sing different kinds of songs. Margaret sings classical stuff, and I sing popular. She's famous for long-hand music, and I'm famous for pop.
Well, I won't even answer that one.
I'm surprised at you, Tallulah, being this nervous. Haven't you ever met the daughter of a president before?
Yes, I did meet one.
Well, I hope you weren't this nervous with Miss McKinley.
Ethel, that's the way you talked to me a few months ago on your first appearance on this show. I was hoping you'd be a little more present on this, your second and last appearance.
All right, Salou, no more knocking.
Very well, no more knocking.
And I'll start off by saying I like your dress very much.
Now, what do you mean by that, Clark?
Nothing. I just said I like your dress.
Ethel, my pet, I've known you long enough to know that when you say you like my dress, you're hiding something.
That's more than your dress does.
Now, just a minute. Now, just a minute. No, not Ethel. In the first place, I have nothing to hide.
You said it. I didn't.
Darling, this is really getting embarrassing. I mean, with Margaret Truman on the program and you and I acting like this, well, what does she think? Now, let's be friendly. How's your play doing? Annie, get your gun.
Salou, that was a couple of years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry, darling. But you'll find something.
I did find something. Call me madam.
Oh, of course. That's stupid of me. I was thinking of Annie, get your gun because... I just saw the movie they made out of it, you know. And, darling, you won't believe it, but I sat all through the picture and you're not in it.
How can
you? No, really. For a while I saw you in it, but then when the credits came on at the end of the picture, it wasn't you at all. It was Louis Calhoun. Well, tell me, darling, how's your Call Me Madam doing?
Oh, selling out every performance, even standing room.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, dear. You know, I haven't seen the play yet. Is there any chance of...
Well, there are no seats to be had at all, Tallulah, but I can speak to our company manager, and he can stand you in the back of the theater.
Darling, nobody can stand Tallulah Bankhead.
You said it, I didn't.
What I mean is that surely you can find a pair of seats for me somewhere. Well, I mean, I got you a pair of tickets for this show tonight, and we fill 3,500 seats in this theater every Sunday. So how many does your theater hold?
Oh, we hold only about 1,700.
1,700? Why, darling, I fill twice as many seats as you do.
You said it, I did. Well, you must remember, Julula, I fill the theater six nights a week and two matinees. People come from all over to hear me sing.
Well, people come to hear me sing too, Bethel. Since you were last on this program, I've been singing quite a bit.
Well, maybe, but I have a larger repertoire than you have.
You said it, I didn't.
Oh, I mean songs.
Oh, I don't know.
No? Okay, well, we'll see about that. Blow, Gabriel, blow. Come on and blow, Gabriel, blow.
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Harold
Square. I got rhythm, I got music, I got my man. Who could ask for anything more?
I'll be singing all your familiar faces.
Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any learning. Still they're happy as can be. Anyway, it comes naturally.
Give my regards to Broadway.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes.
Give my regards to Broadway.
Good evening, Tallulah.
Oh, Fred Allen. Fred, I'm awfully glad you dropped in on the show tonight. You know Margaret Truman is with us again.
Yes, I know, Tallulah. She's on the show for the second time.
Uh-huh.
This will give me a chance to say goodbye to her.
Goodbye? Why, darling? We expect to have her on as often as she'd like to come.
Well, I'm afraid that's not going to be possible, Tallulah. You know, now that they have ratified the 22nd Amendment, Margaret can only come back, can't come back more than twice. I almost fixed it so she didn't come back at all.
What do you, darling, in with your career?
You are using the word loosely. Well, since it has become apparent about my career, since it has become apparent that I know nothing about radio or television, I have had several offers to become a critic.
Oh, Fred, I hope you'll give our show a good notice.
Oh, I'm going to do better than that, Lou. As it is the custom now among the critics, I am going to present this show with an award. Now, all of the shows in radio or television are getting awards, most of them for courage.
But we haven't gotten anything on this show.
Well, I am here to remedy that omission. I have brought along a small framed citation. And before presenting it to you, I should like to read the inscription.
Ah, please do, darling.
To the A&P Gypsies... Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. That should be crossed out here and the name of your show written in.
Well, I can do that, Fred.
Good. To the big show for the best hour and a half program on radio.
But, darling, we're the only hour and a half program on radio.
Well, that's the idea. That's why you are getting this citation for endurance. Shall I continue?
Yes, read on.
This citation is awarded to Miss Tallulah Brockman Bankhead, who has become the most?
Well, the most what?
Well, that's all the room we had, Tallulah. We couldn't get any more lines on the citation. It's very small in the frame.
Well, darling, isn't there room on the back of it for a few lines?
Oh, well, no, you wouldn't want any lines on the back of it.
I would so. Let me see that citation. Why, Fred, the back of it is just a mirror.
That's right, a mirror. I told you you wouldn't want any lines there, would you, Tallulah?
No, darling, that's very sweet of you. That's the nicest thing anybody said to me on this program. I think I'm going to cry.
Oh, don't cry, Miss Banker.
Ah, Meredith Wilson. Mary, darling, I'm so touched by the tribute Fred Allen has just paid me, and you could help a lot with one of your fine, bouncy tunes right now.
I'd be glad to.
What will you play?
Well, sir, Miss Bankhead, as long as Fred has given you a citation, the Big Show Orchestra and Chorus would like to dedicate this next number to you.
Oh, well, it must be my day. Thank you, darling.
We want to dedicate it to you because it's a 40-year-old number and it's being revived.
Well, thanks, I think. Play it, Buster.
Okay, it's called Abba Dabba Honeymoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are happy to welcome to the Big Show three distinguished players, currently stars in the late Philip Barry's play at the Marasco Theater, Mr. Clive Brook, Miss Margaret Phillips, and Mr. Hugh Riley. We hear a scene from Philip Barry's Second Threshold, as revised by Robert E. Sherwood. Second Threshold is the story of a man, Isaiah Bolton, who has carved for himself a distinguished career in law and in service to his country. He has arrived at the point when he has accomplished most of what he set out to do, but now he finds these achievements meaningless, his ambition futile. He wonders, well, here I am, but where am I? Where do I go from here? This feeling has become so strong that he has lost all interest in living itself. He even contemplates taking his own life. The fact that his daughter, Miranda, is about to sail for England to contract a loveless marriage with a man twice her age adds to Richard's despair. It is in this state of mind that Miranda finds him on the eve of her departure.
Do you remember that night in Washington, Father, when you wrote out your resignation to the president?
I remember it well. Quite an eloquent document, if I may say so.
I stormed and railed at you for being a quitter. But I certainly didn't know how completely you had quit. I didn't know that you were resigning from the obligation to live.
Maybe it's a little like... oh, I don't know. Casting off from all you had and taking your bearings from new stars, you can scarcely see. Does that sound too romantic?
It sounds lonely. Lonely?
No, I don't know. I expect there are compensations. Whistle in the dark enough, and sometime you may hear an answering one. Pleasant weather down there. Cool.
Who's that? I didn't hear him.
A vision. An apparition. Quite an intelligent one. It's usually around here somewhere. I talk to it often.
Father!
Yes, daughter.
Father, why can't it be the same again?
The same as what?
As when we worked together, when we were close to each other.
Miranda, I would remind you of a passage in the Bible. It's one of the most beautiful... and also one of the bitterest.
I never heard you quote a passage from the Bible in all my life.
If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Think that one over, Miranda, then go on your way. Pick up your things, my dear, and move.
During the next 24 hours, Miranda's concern for her father has reached a critical stage. She has postponed her trip to England and is determined to make her father face the issue squarely. In the face of accusations leveled by Toby Wells, a young doctor and lifelong friend of the Boltons, who is in love with Miranda, and who is also seeking, on his own initiative, to bring matters to a head, the Sire Bolton is forced by a realization of his life's utility into bitter self-revelation.
Have a look at me, ladies and gentlemen. A man who, from his youth, was bitten and consumed by the desire to get on. Once he left, he never went back to the town he was born in, the schools he attended, the college that graduated him. Desperately afraid of all human relationships, of his own and others' emotions, he finally starved them off, scared them off. Fearful, of course, that they might take from him something of himself. Vanity, vanity, just the thing.
Not true, you're the murderer.
You please, madam, no heckling in the court. No one was allowed any part of this individual but what he chose to give them. Never more than his thoughts and words. Tangy and pungent at times, perhaps, but still... dried herring. He thought and eventually established complete residence in the realms of the mind. His only exchange with others, rigidly intellectual. Except, perhaps, in the case of his daughter.
Yes?
But that only when she was quite young. Later, he deliberately allowed her to identify herself with him. Fostered this relationship until they became almost as one person.
So they stopped it all.
Then, when the cruel, inevitable necessity came to break the bond, he stupidly wondered at the fact that from the vacuum in which he left her, she went on to another, perhaps less benevolent, desperate, and quite as suave, ruthless, and cynical as he. And 2 years older.
It's not so. It's not that way.
Probably it is. If Josiah Bolton had not been in the life where he was, there'll be no Matthew Atwater or anything like him now.
Never, never.
But there it was. So when he finally cut off everyone around him, and at last stood alone, as he thought he'd always wished to, he... Imagine what? He found himself lonely, with the bleak, cold, crushing loneliness of the truly frightful one. The simple capacity for friendship, gone. The human capacity for affection. And finally, even the grim capacity for self-satisfaction. And serve him right.
I tell you I won't have it,
then. Why not? Not the world or his times are blamed for it, mind you. Himself, and himself only, arrived at last. Himself destroyed, and his daughter set by him firmly on the path to the same end. A fine crowning achievement to a lifelong struggle. What do you say, hmm? I say, same rot. Go on, chill out now, both of you. Leave me alone.
No, we'll not, we'll never.
Don't be fearful anymore, daughter. Something else goes in the process. Courage. I'm likely to hang on for years. So while we're facing it squarely at last, let's agree there's been a mistake made, shall we? And the accident purely accidental. What do you say? All with ease?
No, no. You're handing me some dirty old wool to pull over my own eyes so that I'll stop seeing what's plain as day, and I'll tell you, go on, Father Dick. Go on out to Arizona and have another try.
Right.
Answer me this, Father, for the love of God. Who is it but yourself that you want to hurt?
Nobody. You can believe that.
Then on whose doorstep do you plan to leave the body?
That question's irrelevant. Inadmissible.
It's right on the button, that's where it is.
Maybe you thought you were kidding when you talked about a second threshold. Maybe there is one, leading into life, not death. Maybe you haven't the guts to step across.
How dare you talk to my father that way? He isn't afraid of anything. Everyone close to him has let him down, and life piled up on him to a point where it's insupportable. Father, you can do what you like with your life. It's all yours. But I'm telling you now, you do that with it, and I'll do the same with mine, and straight up and let the promise.
Yes, sir,
but
don't
let believe me. It's a promise.
Really, let me know more of that.
I wouldn't want to at all. Because for all the awful things about and all the scrapes I get into, I love living. I love it. And oh, Father, if only you would again, because I love you too. And I'm so crazy about Toby, but I don't know where I'm. What did I say? All the same, I do it. I would. I promise. Hear me.
I hear you.
Then what do you have to say?
What do you want me to do?
What we've been asking you. Begging you. Get yourself well.
I'll do anything. Anything you wish.
What do you mean, maybe that's the truth?
For as far as I can see, I mean it. And what you said about Toby, do you mean that too?
Yes, I guess I'm not responsible for my emotions these days.
Then what are you going to do about it?
I don't know. Yes, I do. I'm going to sail for England tonight.
Really?
Toby, you realize you must have, that I have to go over and explain it myself to Matthew. There's no telegrams, letters, telephones. You do realize.
Seeing you, yes. But I'd like to see you off. I'll get a text.
Can I come back later, sir?
Yes, of course. I'll be on. No sentiment between us. Never was there.
No.
Well, I can say something, can't I?
If you want to.
I'm glad about what's happened today.
Because you discovered I'm not such a brain after all. I'm just plain dumb?
No. I discovered that my daughter doesn't want her father to die. Now get the devil out of here. Go on. Don't keep the Cunard line waiting. Oh. Well, they bought. Yes, I hear you, old friend. But I have to tell you that I am not interested. So go away. I don't want you around here. Go away. Beat it. Get out.
Margaret Phillips and Hugh Riley. Margaret Phillips, I want to chat with you first. Darling, you are one of the best of all us young actresses around today. Now let me see you insult me after that.
Why, Salute, I wouldn't dream of insulting you.
Ah, you're sweet. I think you're just right for that part you play in Second Threshold. Of course, if I'd played the part, I would have given it more depth and understanding, you see. Can't you just keen in that part, my dear?
Oh, yes. Tallulah Bankhead in Second Childhood.
Why does everybody on this program think they have to... Oh, well. You, Riley, come here, darling. Now, don't you start anything. This is a bad day. Everybody wants to make trouble for me. Well, it looks like the cards.
May I return the compliment and say that you are, too?
Well, thank you, darling. What are you doing off the show?
What do you have in mind, Tallulah?
Oh, I thought we'd play some cards. We'll talk about it later. Clive Brook, oh, it's been such a very long time since you've been in our country.
Yes, I made a picture with you, Tallulah. You remember Tarnished Lady, 15 years ago? I went back to England right after that.
Coward! Now you're back, starring on Broadway. The play sounds exciting. That scene you gave us in from the end of the play. Now, how does the play begin?
Well, as the curtain rises, Margaret Phillips, who plays my daughter, is talking to the young doctor. And she tells him she's going to England to get married. And then Ethel Merman sings, "You're not sick, you're in love." And after that, I make my entrance.
And now, just a moment, Clive. You say in your play, Ethel Merman sings...
Well, it's not exactly in our play. You see, we're at the Marasco Theatre, and Miss Merman's at the Imperial block away, and you know Ethel's voice.
Yes, I do indeed.
Well, I'm glad somebody knows my voice. When do I get to sing my song on this program?
Ethel, darling, I've explained to you that Margaret Truman is on our program, and she is also a singer. Now, we must wait till we all meet her.
Well, let's meet her.
You'll all meet in a few moments. Oh, and Fred, how about you? Don't you want to see Margaret Truman again?
Well, I certainly do. I have this envelope here I want to give her.
Oh, really? What's in it?
My taxes. Maybe I can save her a little by cutting out the middleman.
You've been listening to It's Easter Time, played by Meredith Wilson. In a moment, we will meet Miss Truman. But first, I want to ring my time. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Show. This is the National Broadcasting Company's Sunday extravaganza with the most scintillating personalities in show business. The Big Show, the Sunday night feature of NBC's All-Star Festival, is brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from the pain of headaches, neuritis, and neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants. Mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. The cigarette that brings you Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. The big stars in this program are Fred Allen, Clyde Brooks, Cortland Hoffa, Frankie Lane, Ethel Merman, Herb Schreiner, Margaret Crewman, Meredith Wilson, and his Big Show Orchestra and chorus. And every week, your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable, the Lula Bankhead.
Well, darlings, we are about to present a young lady from Independence, Missouri, Washington, D.C., and the cover of last week's Time magazine. Now, Margaret Crewman is a bright, talented, lovely girl, and I didn't begrudge her being on the cover of Time. Well, I enjoyed reading the articles about her. But the fuss they made about her having just become 27 years old. Well, nobody paid that much attention to me, and I was 27 for years. Well, in any case, ladies and gentlemen, may I present Miss Margaret Truman.
Hello, Tallulah.
Well, Margaret, darling, I presented you as simply and unpretentiously as you asked me to. But I still think you're wrong, you know. This is such a large theater. You could have had such an impressive entrance with the big orchestral fanfare and you riding on top of an elephant.
Are you kidding, Tallulah? Me on an elephant? Oh,
I'm so sorry. I wasn't patient. I would make a mistake like that. I feel like a jackass.
That's more like it.
Margaret, I was just telling you about that story in Time magazine. It had a lot of warm, personal touches that I loved. For instance, that one episode in your life when you were at school and you had picked up the habit of calling everybody Jerry.
That was a true story, but I was finally sure it was a habit.
Yes, the story said your father fined you 10 cents every time you used the word Jerry.
Yes, and I was completely cured when it cost me 40 cents in one evening at the dinner table. That 10-cent fine really worked. You should try it, darling.
Try what, darling?
Try breaking yourself of the habit.
Of what habit, darling?
Don't you know?
I don't know what you're talking about, darling.
You use 3 of them in a row. That would cost you 30 cents.
30 cents of what, darling?
That's 40 cents.
40 cents, darling? I'm talking about you, darling. The time you were fined 40 cents for saying Jerry, darling. They began introducing new catches with you rather early, didn't they, darling?
If they started with you, darling, we'd have a national surplus today, darling.
Isn't she sweet? Well, speaking of making money, Margaret, the article in Time said you're cleaning up with concerts, radio, and television appearances, RCA records. Why, Margaret, you'll be making more money than a president of the United States.
Well, a vocalist always makes more money than the accompanist.
Darling, Margaret, what's new in the romance department?
Oh, I haven't time for that now, Tallulah. My career takes up all my time.
I know, but you should have innumerable men to choose from. Because after all, darling, you're charming, personable, attractive. And besides, Margaret, who wouldn't want to marry you? After all, you are working.
So how come you're still single?
Now, look here, Judy Holliday.
Well, after all, Tallulah, let's face it. Why aren't you thinking of marriage? You're personable, attractive, charming. But after all, you're not getting any richer.
Well, this month is March the 15th, isn't it, darling? Who is? So let's take in a little money now, shall we? And let Ed Hurley read a message from the sponsor.
If you would like to know a quick, easy way to ease the pain of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, then by all means, try Aniston. Your own dentist or physician may at one time or another have handed you an envelope containing Aniston tablets. Then you already know how incredibly fast and effectively Aniston brings relief. Aniston is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Aniston contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients. For your own sake, try Aniston. Aniston is sold to you on this guarantee. If the first few tablets do not give you all the relief you want as fast as you want it, you may return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. You can get Aniston tablets at any drug counter. Aniston comes in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100.
Well, Margaret, what were we saying?
I don't remember. But I would like to say that I'm glad you invited me to be on your show this week.
Ah, Margaret, you are sweet.
I can't tell you what a thrill it is to be on a program with a star of such great magnitude.
Ah, Margaret, you're sweet.
You know I've always admired Ethel Merman.
Oh, you like Ethel Merman?
Of course, don't you?
Oh, yes. Actually, she's simply superb.
Well, aren't you friendly with her?
Well, yes. I suppose you could call her friend in a manner of not speaking.
I thought you and Ethel were very close. She's one of your friends who always says the nicest things about you.
Yes, those are the worst kind, darling.
Well, I like her very much.
You do, huh? Well, it's all right with me, Margaret, only.
Only what?
Well, you see, she's a singer, and you're a singer. And Ethel told me before the show that she feels it's more important to sing later in the show, and she prefers you to sing first.
Oh, is that all? Well, Tallulah, it doesn't matter to me who sings first. Just so it's Ethel.
Well, you see, that's the problem I'm having this week.
Well, say, Tallulah, perhaps I can help solve your problem.
Oh, Fred, darling. Come here, Margaret. You remember Fred Allen.
Of course. Hello, Fred.
Well, how do you do, Margaret? It's so nice to see you again. How is everybody at home?
Oh, they're away on a short vacation down in Key West.
Oh, that's nice. And how is the good old Deke?
I think he's away, too.
Really? And you're spending most of your time here in New York?
That's right, Fred.
Well, who's minding the store?
That's something you wanted to ask Margaret to do for you. That envelope.
Oh, yeah, the envelope. Here it is. Margaret, will you get back home to Washington? I wonder if you'd mind dropping this off at the Bureau of Internal Revenue.
What is it? Your income tax?
No, it's my income. I can't afford the tax. And by the way, I'd appreciate it if you'd explain to the man there about a little item they may question here on my tax. I've listed $42,552.20 under entertainment. That's when I was doing my television show.
Well, was it really entertainment?
Well, Margaret, that's another question.
Well, television is still in its infancy, isn't it, Fred?
No, it was in its infancy about 2 years ago. But it's grown up now and has reached the walking stage. More people are getting up and walking away from it.
Fred, can we get back to our original subject, darling? You said something about solving my problem. Now, having two things like Ethel Merman and Margaret Truman on the show.
Oh, yes. Well, from what I heard, neither Ethel nor Margaret wants to sing first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a young lady here who will sing first. She's waiting off stage here now. And with a little persuasion, I can keep her off stage.
It's ours.
Too late.
Fortin Hummer. Portland, have you met Margaret?
Who?
Portland, this is the Margaret, the daughter of you know who.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you, Your Highness. And how is your sister?
Hello, Portland. In the first place, don't call me Your Highness. In the second place, I have no sister.
Well, doesn't Princess Margaret have a sister named Elizabeth? And she has a son named Charles? Aren't you Charlie's aunt?
Darling, you're thinking of Ray Bolger.
Ray Bolger is her sister?
Portland, but this is Margaret Truman.
Oh, Margaret Truman, the singer.
Yes. That's right, Portland.
Oh, I've enjoyed your singing many times, and I've always wanted to meet you. Mama said if I ever met you, to find out all about you. Where you come from, who your folks are, how you got started, and if anybody in your family was ever in show business.
No, I'm the only one in show business.
Really? How does it feel to be the first one in your family to become famous?
Fred, can't you do something about this? What about this song that you're going
to
sing?
Well, I guess the only way to keep Portland quiet is to let her sing. Portland, are you ready to sing?
Now?
Yes, Porty, now. We want somebody to sing and break the ice.
Well, this will break something. You better take off your glasses, Tallulah, and put them away. Hide them someplace. Portland, okay, Portland. You see, I have my banjo on my knee. It plays underwater. I have a small pontoon on it underneath. Shall we try it?
What are you going to play, Fred?
Well, I am going to play by a really a request. The party since died, but in his will. I'm going to play an old song, Sweet Marie, on my banjo. And Portland will sing a reasonable facsimile of it. Now, this may be a momentous evening. This may be the end of radio and the end of all music as we know it today.
I've a secret in my heart, sweet Marie. It's a tale I would impart, love to thee. Every daisy in the dell knows thy secret, knows it well. Still I do not dare to tell, sweet Marie. Come to me, sweet Marie, come to me. Not before your face is fair, lovely thing, but your soul so pure and sweet makes my happiness complete. Makes me falter at your feet, sweet Marie.
Here's a word from RCA Victor. Inch for inch, your best buy in television is RCA Victor 19-inch. Yes, a great many families have taken this advice to heart and bought the thrilling RCA Victor 19-inch, truly the most exciting buy in television. When you buy television, remember that the set you choose will be the very hub of your home for years to come. So select the screen size you really want most. The bigger and better RCA Victor 19-inch pictures are the just right size for family viewing. Big enough to watch from across the room, and yet so clear and sharp you can sit up close. That's RCA Victor's million-proof quality for you. Quality proven in over 2 million homes. Your dealer can show you RCA Victor 19-inch television in a table model, a console 4 model, or a combination television radio phonograph. See them. Learn why, inch for inch, your best buy in television is RCA Victor 19-inch.
Oh, Margaret, glad to see you again.
Oh, you know at the moment, don't you, darling?
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure you won't want to speak to her. Well, I suppose you're ready to sing your song now.
In due time. I'd like to have a little chat with Margaret first.
Well, I want to talk to you too, Ethel. I certainly enjoyed you and Call Me Madam.
Thank you, dear.
I could have had that part in Call Me Madam. They offered it to me, you know.
Tallulah, that was Call Me Mister.
Oh, yes.
Ethel. I've enjoyed you in many of the plays you've done. I saw you in Annie Get Your Gun several times. That ran 4 years, didn't it?
No, Margaret, 2 years.
Oh, only half a term. But even so, singing as exuberantly as you do every night for 2 years, I wish I had your lungs.
Don't mention that back in Washington. They've taken everything else I've got.
Special exhale tax, no doubt.
By the way, Margaret, I was in Washington a few weeks ago, and I tried calling you at the White House, but there was no answer.
Oh, you should have tried the Blair House. They would have called me to the phone.
The Blair House? What's that, darling? The candy store?
How's everybody back home, Margaret?
They're fine, thank you. How's your family? How are your two children, that cute little girl and that bright little boy?
Oh, Ethel and Bobby are wonderful. And, Margaret, I trust you won't think I'm being the typical doting American mother when I tell you that I hope someday my son will grow up to be president of United States Steel.
Now, look, darling, it's all very well to have you two girls standing here blabbering, but I think it's time for a song.
Oh, good. Go ahead, Ethel. Sing something.
Oh, no, you sing, Margaret. My song can wait.
Oh, but I'm sure everyone's ready to hear you sing.
It's very kind of you to say that, but I know they're anxious to hear you sing.
Oh, no, they want to hear you.
Oh, I'm sure they want to hear you.
If I've got to go.
Don't bother, Ethel. I'll sing.
I'm already, darling.
I don't care who sings, as long as it's one of us.
Listen to the mockingbird. Hello, everybody, let's have a little quiet here. If it's going to be like that, I'm calling on Frankie Lane. And the song is Frankie Lane. That's the state the resume of Boston.
Where the crane flies to my shore, and the turtles sun their shell, where the water rises, oh, that's where my swan girl dwells. Where the sunlight never wanders and the moonlight never falls, where the water's black with the devil's crash, that's where my swan girl calls. What did she see there? The girl with the golden hair, making follow me down there. How did she look when she took me by the hand? Soon as her hair will float in the water, and the gold will no longer shine. It will spread like a fan in the water while she makes a mysterious sign. I have seen that sign before. Her eyes on light whippoorwills, and her eyes on like the fall. Her eyes are just like a diamond band stretching in the dawn. I have seen her face in the water, and the chilling look in her eyes. And if you see her, then you must leave her. Never follow the losing lies. Oh, will you go to the girl with the golden hair, down there where her work is done? Will you embrace the night and turn your back on the sun? You say it's better there in the water, where the cool and silent stream. She will call you to come to the water, to a world made of emerald green. I have heard that call before. I can hear it where I knew. I can hear it where I'm here.
I can hear it where the joy of living seems to have lost its thrill. For my dogs are calling, calling, come to the deep where your sleep is without a dream. Calling, calling for me.
Beautifully done, Frank. Now, don't go away, darling. I want you to meet Margaret. But first, let me and greet Bing Crosby and Bob Hope.
Now, here's Chesterfield's answer to Cyrano de Bergerac. Bob Hope.
I thought it easy, Dad, but we only have a minute here to sell Chesterfield.
Okay, well, let's get to it.
Better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
The mildness is a cinch to prove. You just make Chesterfield mildness test. You know, open a pack and enjoy that milder aroma. Then smoke them, and you know that Chesterfield's are mild.
And Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste test.
So make our cigarette your cigarette. Reasons go together like this.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield, always take first place. That's how in miles of rack will never leave an aftertaste.
Oh, ho, open the pack and give them a smell.
Then you smoke them.
Hey, Frankie, come here, will you please, darling?
Hiya, Tallulah.
I'm going to have you meet Martha Truman in a minute. You might be able to help her, you know. She's making records for R.J. Victor. You've been pretty successful with your records, haven't you, Frankie?
Well, let's just say that we've been pretty lucky. We've made some records, though, that have sold over a million copies.
Yes, I know. You make those long-selling records. But what I can't understand is where you find the time to make all those millions of records. Each one must take at least 3 minutes.
No, darling, you don't understand. We only make the actual record once, and then they make pressings from the master record.
Oh, then your records are just copies.
The master
record. Oh, well, I'd make records, you know, but I wouldn't make copies. Each one is an original.
Now, just what do you mean?
Well, whenever they get an order for a record, they call me up and I come down and make one.
Well,
I had an order for one about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
I forgot which one it was, though. It was either I'll be seeing you or you go to my head. Well, it doesn't matter because, of course, they're both the same melody. Yes, darling.
I'd like to meet Frankie Lane.
Well, of course, Margaret. Come here. Miss Truman, may I present Mr. Lane?
How do you do?
Gee, Miss Truman, this is an honor.
But Margaret, I thought Frankie could tell you something about making records.
Oh, I wish he would.
Well, Miss Truman, I've always found that the best way to make successful records is to make only hits.
That's a big help. Frankie, why don't you tell her about the actual way to record?
All right. Tell me, are you going to record at 45 or 78, Miss Truman?
Well, you got me stumped already.
Then that makes us even. I stumped for you in 1948.
Maggie, what do you mean 45 or 78?
Well, you know, revolutions per minute. 45 revolutions per minute or 78 revolutions. Tululu, you've made some records. Which are you? 45 or 78?
Oh, I'm 45.
You better
do like it. Ethel, we are not just talking about records. Something you know nothing about.
I know nothing about records. You mean you haven't heard any of my records?
I didn't know you had to record. I thought people just opened their windows.
Well,
one song of yours I just love, Ethel, is one you did in a picture, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Would you do it for me?
I'd be glad to. Ladies and gentlemen, I will now sing...
One moment, Buster. A bankhead is still the speaker of this house. I will introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, the exciting voice of Miss Ethel Merman in Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on in here, come on in here. It's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you want to go to war. That's just the bestest band, what I am. Oh, what on him I am. Come on along, let me take you by the hand. Up to the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear the Swanee River played in ragtime, come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Oh, my honey, oh, my honey, better hurry and let me meander. Ain't you going? Ain't you going to the leader man, ragged leader man? Oh, my honey, let me take you to Alexander's Grandstand, Grandstand. Ain't you coming along? Come on along, come on in here. It's the best band in the land, so come on in here. Come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on in here, come on in here. It's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before.
Well, thank you, Ethel Merman, and better luck next time. That's what it says here. But I want to say that you were, as usual, superb. And we want to hear some more singing from you later on. We also are going to hear Margaret Truman's song. And we have a very funny fella in Herb Shriner coming up. And a beautiful medley, all in just a moment after Ed Hurley, he says.
This portion of the program has been brought to you by the makers of Aniston for fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants, mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. The best cigarette for you to smoke. Now, Tallulah, if you bring your chime.
Of course. This, darling, is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Show. And Tallulah Bankhead is about to introduce Miss Margaret Truman's song.
Yes, darling, this is the moment you've all been waiting for, I'm sure. We're about to hear...
Miss Bankhead.
Oh, yes, Herb. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is that fellow from Indiana, the very clever Herb Shriner. I'll be getting you in just a moment, Herb. Miss Truman's going to sing now.
That's all right with me. I hope she sings something classical.
Do you get any classical music back home?
No, we don't get any of that.
How about opera?
No, we don't get any opera. We get quite a bit of snow, though.
Well, I'm sure that must be fun, dear. But what I'm talking about are the finer things, like the music in the theater, the drama, the immortal works of the great playwright. Have you ever get any Shakespeare in your hometown?
Well, I'll tell you, Miss Bankhead, we had one Shakespeare company come there one time, and they put on Romeo and Juliet, but nobody went. You see, the Boy Scouts had put on the very same show once, And what you used to go, we all knew how the story come out. But I'd like to apologize for the way I'm dressed here, by the way. If I'd known I was going to meet Miss Truman, I'd have sent home for my good suit.
Oh, what's wrong with the suit you have on?
Oh, it's all right. A fellow made it for me back home. The fellow's very handy with a needle back there. He's a sailmaker. He makes a pretty good suit. The only trouble is if you get caught in a high wind, you don't know what time you're going to get home.
Well, we'll discuss that a little later, Herb.
Okay, I'll just go over here and sit there and think. Maybe I'll just sit. I already fought some.
Well, you decide which end to use. Enjoy yourself, darling. Meanwhile, here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Truman singing, Love is Where You Find It. There it is, isn't it, darling?
Tallulah.
Oh, Margaret, I'd like you to meet Herb Shriner.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Shriner? I understand you're from Indiana.
That's right, Indiana. 13 electoral votes. I sure enjoyed the song, Miss Truman. That's the name, ain't it? Just want to be sure. You got some swell voice on you.
Oh, do you like classical music?
Oh, I love it. I'm kind of musical myself, you know. I used to play the harmonica and the note and everything,
oh,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always interested in the classical stuff myself. I mean, if the number wasn't classical, I wouldn't mess with it.
Right.
In fact, one of my best tunes I used to play was something like the one you just sang. It was one, of course, that came from way back in the days there with King Louis the XIII. And it was actually very classical, this number. I'll tell you the truth, harmonica playing is a funny thing. I was always kind of crazy about the show business anyways. And around home there, the harmonica kind of kept me going. I was always kind of anxious to get into some kind of a show. I was in a small show there once. We had me and another fellow got into this, we worked in a drugstore window with our show.
And well, he was very good. He was dressed up like a doctor, and I was the other fellow. I was barefooted. And we were going along pretty good, and then my corn healed up, and I had to quit. It's kind of a crimp in it. But it's very hard to get started in the show business in a small town. Miss Bankhead, I was just thinking, you know, we only had actually one fella that ever got on the stage from our home there. He was he was actually cut out for it. He was a very kind of a nice wit on him. And, he was a genius. And he was very smart, too. He was one of these fellas, kind of a smart genius, the only one I ever run across. And he was no dummy either, I'll tell you that. Some of the stuff that fellow had come out with, I remember one particular night, a bunch of us, we was down in front of the feed store, and we wasn't doing nothing. And we'd been at it for about a week. We were trying to get it finished, you know. And he pulled a good one on us. He walks up and he says, long time no see. Well, we laughed quite a while over that. I don't know. Get him. He had a lot of those things. Oh, what a sense of humor he had. I'll tell you, I don't know. Of course, he had traveled. He was one of these fellas. He'd been everywhere. He'd been up to Michigan there once and got back all right, you know. And he knew his way around, and he used to read. He read all the time. He was a regular bookworm. He got the Papa Mechanic every month. Anything new come out, he'd get it, too. He was just as quick as a trigger. He had this, what do you take night when the hot foot come out? He was the first one in town to send away for the directions. He's just as quick, and I tell you, he had, I believe, without exaggerating the spank yet, he had one of the best personalities that I've ever run across. He got it from drinking, too. It was a darn thing. He did. He was drunk in a skunk quite a bit, and it just seemed to, it kind of set him off, and in fact, it put him over. I'll tell you what he did. He got into this big club, from the east here, this, alcoholic, unanimous. Well, he was way up in that. I don't know how far up there he was. In fact, I tell you, he was a mail order member. He didn't even go to the meetings. He used to drink and send in the empty bottles. They give him credit. But he was a very nice fella, and you'd never look, when you first take a look at that fella, you wouldn't think that he had the wit on him that he had. When he first come to town, he'd just been kind of a stranger there. And he'd been a traveling fella selling lightning rods. And he was going along swell. And then one night he got caught in a storm with a bunch of samples. And I don't know, he just kind of lost interest in a thing. And he couldn't seem to get... He wanted to stay there in town. He couldn't get started. He didn't know what exactly to do, and he just tried everything. He was selling busted cookies there for a while, you know, and, he was weeding onions and delivering sheep dip, anything he could to get going. And finally, he got a little bit better known, and people got to kind of liking him, and he was doing odd jobs. Just getting known, people letting him do little jobs, like if they had a cat up a tree. He'd climb up there and get the cat. And they'd usually give him something for it, of course. And they'd usually give him the cat, anyway. Well, just when he was getting kind of discouraged, he wasn't going to make anything or get anywhere, overnight he'd become a huge success in one afternoon. It was a very odd thing. He found a nickel in a potato. Now, that put him over. It was in a regular live potato, living potato. And right in there, he had it cut open so you could see the nickel. And that thing put him over. Well, his name was in the paper every day for a week. The paper only come out once a week, but he was in there. And on the strength of that, he started, acting very important. He had some cards printed, and Sunday afternoon, why, people would come around in front of the house, you know, and drive up there and sell balloons and everything. And they'd stand around out there in front, and they'd say, there he is. And he was, too. He was one of these guys. Well, he was very slick. And he seen he had a good thing there, and in the very day that he really got going, they sent some fellas out from New York, a couple of radio fellas. They was going to, I think there was some We the People people, I believe it was. They come out, they was going to put him on the radio. At the time, we didn't have no television. We were still trying to get something good on the radio. These two fellas were going to put him on, and the very day he was getting interviewed, his potato disappeared. And the nickel in there and everything, he was just wiped out. It was just, clean him out. He went down to nothing overnight, and it just broke his heart. And, I don't know, a bunch of us friends of his tried to help him make a comeback. We did what we could there. We looked through potatoes. I don't know. I guess I looked through about 2 bushels of potatoes myself. But we never found another potato with a nickel in it. It was just luck or something. We found one with 3 cents in it. I remember that. And one of the other boys found a potato with a landing button in there, but it just never hit it again. It was a terrible shame. And that's the thing about show business I was trying to say, Miss Bankhead, is that it's a very peculiar thing. In fact, there was a great philosopher who once said something about it. I can't think of the philosopher's name right offhand. I can't think what he said neither now, but I tell you, hit the nail on the head. But I can't talk too much more about show business, but I think I'm going to simmer down now. I'm going to go back and set. Okay?
Herb Steiner, that was like a breath of fresh Indiana air. You must come again very soon. And now we offer a salute to one of the greatest songwriters America has ever known. That naturally would be the beloved Irving Berlin. So Meredith Wilson, the Big Show chorus and orchestra, joined Ethel Merman, Margaret Truman, Frankie Lane, Fred Allen, and myself in a medley of the songs America Sings and Loves.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Thinking about it is appealing. Everything that traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are alone. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they are a star. Let's go.
He received first prize for playing checkers, and he beat him. Can you beat him? He's a devil in his own hometown.
He's shy, smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies. Do I see?
Bluebirds sing a song. Love the bluebirds all day long. I never saw the sun shining so bright. I never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, gee, my heart is fly on. Blue days all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Thank you.
If you don't need me anymore, do you mind if I leave now?
Oh, go right ahead, Ethel. Oh, by the way, say hello to us tonight for me, will you, please?
Okay, good night.
And remember me to Paul Lucas, too.
Okay, good night.
And see Ray Middleton. Say hello to me, too.
Okay, good night.
And Elvis, remember me to Robert Alder.
Okay, Tallulah.
And say hello to me to Jose Ferrer.
Yes, I will.
And Elvis, John Gielgud and Dennis King. And
look, Tallulah, why don't I just give your regards to Brian?
Didn't she, though?
Tallulah, I'd like to run now, too, if you don't mind.
Oh, Margaret, why don't you wait and we'll have dinner together?
Oh, thanks, Tallulah, but I really must run.
But, Margaret, I thought we might have a little chat.
Some other time, Tallulah. Good night. I really must run.
All right, if you must. Good night, darling. Those humans always running. Are you leaving? I want to talk to you. Have you got a minute?
Oh, yes, Tallulah. It may surprise you to know that my great-great-grandfather was a minute man. In our family, we have always had a minute. And accumulating all of those minutes, I have arrived at the time when I have the entire evening.
I don't know, we're not supposed to come in, Fred. Oh, sorry. Well, thank heaven for one man whose time is his own.
Boulevard Nye.
Fred, I want to offer advice on how to deal with these guests I have on the show. You know, sometimes they do get out of hand. Like every Merman, for instance.
Well, Tallulah, I am so glad that you asked me. Now, I've noticed on several occasions that you have trouble. Now, what you really need, if you really will take my advice, what you need is to learn to be firm.
Yes, darling.
You need an iron hand.
Uh-huh.
The male fist.
Yes.
You know, the Rock of Gibraltar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's how I handle people. Just show them that you are the boss.
Fred, are you coming?
Oh, yes, coming right away, Portman. Well, I'm sorry, Tallulah, I have to run now, too.
The Rock of Gibraltar, huh? What happened to your male sister, the Iron Hand?
Well, I forgot to tell you, everything I have is in my wife's name.
Well, Tallulah, I think I'll be leaving now, too, if you don't mind.
Good night, Frankie, darling. Now be sure to button up your overcoat and watch that beautiful voice of yours.
Okay, and you watch your voice, too, huh? I'll be seeing you.
What can happen to my voice? It hasn't already happened. Oh, Herb, you're leaving, too. Did you enjoy being on the big show?
Yeah, I wish I'd known you had a show like this sooner.
You never heard the show before. Surely you read about it in your newspaper.
Well, you see, back home, our paper only comes out once a week, and hardly anybody ever buys it. We know what everybody's doing. Just once in a while, you might buy it to see if they get caught at it.
Come back again, Clydebrook. How about you? Did you enjoy the show, darling?
This has been quite an experience, Mr. Luna. You do this every week.
Indeed, we do. For instance, next week we have Bob Burns, Jimmy Durante, Billy Eckstine, Celeste Holmes, Evelyn Knight, and of course our very own Meredith Wilson and the Big Show Auction Chorus and others. try to listen, won't you? May the good Lord bless and keep you. Whether near or far away, Ethel.
May you find that long awaited golden day today.
May your troubles all be small ones and your fortune 10 times 10.
Fred?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Orphan? May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. Margaret, may there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see. Meredith?
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrow. Never mind what might have been.
Why?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Frankie?
May you long recall each rainbow. Then you'll soon forget the rain. May the warm and tender memories be the ones that will remain.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again. And God see to our armed forces who hear these broadcasts each week all over the world.
The Big Show is produced and directed by D. Engelbach and written by Goodman Ace, Thelma Diamond, George Foster, Mort Green, and Frank Wilson. Keep tuned to NBC, for in just 1 hour, Theater Guild on the Air presents a great production, Shakespeare's Hamlet, starring John Gielgud with Dorothy McGuire and Pamela Brown. This is Ed Hurley, East Lady. Stay tuned for Phil Harris and Alex Ray, next on most NBC stations.